Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Michael Slate Show. My name is Sansara Taylor. I am your guest host again this week, and I want to begin today's episode of the Michael Slate Show with a commentary on the indictment of Donald Trump, the upheaval that is coming, and the interests of humanity. Look, last week, the conflict among those who ruled this country grew immensely more extreme and more explosive with the 37-count indictment of Donald Trump for illegally mishandling classified documents and lying to the FBI about it. Trump's minions inside Congress and outside immediately talked about war. Trump himself said that this is the, quote, final battle. And for their part, the Democrats, along with other forces in the ruling class, insisted that Trump answer for these charges. But between the fascists on the one side and the mainstream forces around the Democrats on the other, there is no answer in the interests of humanity. The fascists, the MAGA Trump supporters and others, want to hammer down a society in which the oppression of Black people and other people of color, the oppression of women and LGBTQ people and immigrants is even more violent, even more openly hate-filled, more systematic, and more repressive than it is under the, quote, normal workings of capitalist imperialist rule. On top of this, they stand for American chauvinism, America first, virulent ignorance run amok on a whole other level. But let's also talk about these Democrats. In fact, they have used their term in office to wage a proxy war against their imperialist rival in Russia through aiding and advising the Ukrainian army, while preparing and beating the drums for an even more deadly war with their main rival, China. These are imperialist gangsters running the U.S. empire in a proxy war against Russian imperialist gangsters and getting ready and preparing for a showdown with the Chinese imperialist gangsters, all of which could lead to the extermination of humanity with a nuclear war. For all their lip service to, quote, being green, these Democrats continue to increase reliance on polluting fossil fuels and open up more drilling. Biden may try to enlist the Republicans in some of this and to brag when he gets, quote, a bipartisan compromise. But nothing he has done or can do can actually stop the way society is being pulled apart from top to bottom. Yes, the crisis and the deep divisions in society can only be resolved through radical means of one kind or another, either radically reactionary, murderously oppressive and destructive means, or radically emancipating revolutionary means. Revolution is the real alternative to both of these ruling class choices. And when this ruling class is being split apart at the seams, when it's fighting amongst itself, the chances to make this revolution have heightened and the urgency of doing so has heightened as well. Listen to what these fascists are saying. You know, there's been a lot of fascist outpouring after Trump was indicted. I'm going to read just one of these quotes. Carrie Lake, who was a former candidate for governor of Arizona, she was at a rally that Trump was at just a few days ago after the indictment came down. Trump chose her to introduce him. And here's what she said. This was last Saturday. She said, in part, quote, "I have a message tonight for Merrick Garland, the attorney general, and Jack Smith, the federal prosecutor in charge of the case, and for Joe Biden. And the guys back there in the fake news media, you should listen up as well. This one is for you. If you want to get President Trump, you're going to have to go through me. And you're going to have to go through 75 million Americans just like me. And I'm going to tell you, most of us are card-carrying members of the NRA. That's not a threat. That's a public service announcement." End quote. And that's just one of many, 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 many quotes that could be shared of Republican fascist operatives calling for war, calling for violence, calling for an eye for an eye, calling for their armed-to-the-teeth social base to take the bridges, to seize military bases, and more. These fascists will not accept any imprisonment of Donald Trump should he be found guilty. They will not accept a loss of Donald Trump in 2024. They carried out a failed coup attempt on January 6, 2021. And a failed coup attempt is a dress rehearsal, a rehearsal they are more prepared for now than they were then. So again, for the part of the Democrats, how have they responded? They've talked about national security and the rule of law. They've hammered that Trump put national security at risk. But we must ask ourselves, seriously ask yourself, what is being talked about when they talk about national security? They're talking about American empire. Let's look again at some of the material that Trump is accused of mishandling. Plans to wage nuclear war, to potentially exterminate human civilization, plans to invade Iran, illegal, unjust, immoral invasion of Iran, and who knows what else. National security in the U.S. has always meant nothing more than violently enforcing and defending a worldwide empire of exploitation and oppression by any means necessary, including, yes, nuclear war, which could end the very existence of humanity. Again, this is no choice that we should accept. There is no choice that humanity should accept between these fascist Republicans on the one hand and these mainstream imperialist democratic rulers on the other. Yet there is an answer to this madness that does exist, an actual revolution aiming to overthrow this entire system and replace it with the system and the society envisioned in the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America, authored by Bob Avakian. This would put into place a radically different economic system, as well as emancipating relations among the people. Not long ago, Bob Avakian gave a major talk that spoke about the moment that we are in. And in that talk, he said, quote, "Left to itself, that is, if the current character and dynamics of all this remain the same, and on the same course they are on now, this situation, the divisions characterizing it, and the outcome resulting from it are almost certainly going to become even more negative, terribly negative. So all this must be radically changed in what is a relatively brief and compressed period of time, not just weeks or months, but also not decades. If things have not already fully erupted before then, the scheduled presidential election of 2024 is very likely to be a critical focal point and turning point through which the fascist Republicans will attempt to gain power and lock down power over society and put an end to any possibility of a future transfer of power away from them. With the Republicans' continuation of the big lie that the 2020 presidential election was stolen from Trump, their moves to suppress votes, and their whole orientation that in any case, with regard to the 2024 presidential elections, assuming there is one, that the only acceptable outcome is that they are declared and confirmed as the winner. All this has made clear that they will allow no peaceful transfer of power in government unless it results in their coming to power. Growing numbers of fascist-oriented people in this country are prepared to use violence in pursuit of their perverse notion of making America great again. And the Republican leadership is ready to resort to this if they cannot come to power through quote-unquote legitimate electoral means. Already, Republican elected officials, including members of Congress, are whipping up sentiments in favor of such violence and supporting fascist mobs who have engaged in this violence." End quote. That was a quote from Bob Avakian from 2 years ago, and it is more true today, including 2 weeks ago when Donald Trump appeared at CNN for the town hall that he held, and he promised to be, quote unquote, your retribution, speaking to his social fascist MAGA base, and where he once again refused to accept the results of an election that he loses. So in these times of great shocks and changes, in these times of intensifying danger of potentially reactionary civil war and so much worse, isn't it time to lift our sights? Isn't it time to dare to step out of our comfort zones? Isn't it time for the decent people to not only resist and be in the streets, but dig into and learn about the revolution and the radically new society that is possible in the Constitution that Bob Avakian has offered available at revcom.us? Isn't it time to learn about and relate to the movement for this revolution that the RevComs are waging? I invite you to learn more about this. I invite you to read that constitution. Go to revcom.us for this, as well as ongoing analysis of this intensifying clash at the top of society and where the interests of humanity lie and how we can act on them to wrench something truly emancipating out of these dangerous times.
young babies are suffering from malnutrition. And I say that we don't want no nuclear war. With nuclear war, we won't get far. No, I said that we don't want no nuclear war. With a nuclear war, we won't get far.
That is the amazing Peter Tosh, No Nuclear War. Oh my God, I remember growing up with that song playing in my house. I remember being terrified of nuclear war as a child and then thinking we had moved past that era and how relevant that song remains today as the U.S. escalates its proxy war, its unjust proxy war against its imperialist rival, Russia. We want to use that music to move us into the next segment here today on The Michael Slate Show. Let me remind you, yes, you are listening to The Michael Slate Show. My name is Sansara Taylor. I am your guest host. This war in Ukraine has now been going on for over a year. Carnage on both sides piling up. The people of Ukraine being treated as cannon fodder by the U.S. and its proxy war to take down Russia on the world stage. And Russia just shelling and killing and destroying lives, and Russian soldiers being ground up as well. This is an unjust war, and it is risking greater war. So what I want to do is get into the stakes of this. I want to share a segment, a powerful segment that Andy Z put together on the Revolution Nothing Less show, the YouTube show that I co-host with him at youtube.com/therevcoms, a while back, towards the early part of this war, which remains highly relevant and prescient, that is far-seeing, and where he examines and brings to the surface the actual history and destruction of the only country in the world that has ever used nuclear weaponry on civilians. Yes, I am talking about the United States. So without anything further, let's drop in right now to Andy Z. This is several months back, so there are further developments since then, but it is all still highly relevant and highly germane. Let's listen.
On August 6, 1945, a blazing, million-degree fireball suddenly appeared just above the Japanese city of Hiroshima, instantly killing, burning alive, or vaporizing tens of thousands. Firestorms engulfed the city. Shockwaves and winds over 1,000 miles an hour came next, shattering bodies and buildings, hurling men, women, and children through the air. Nearly all structures were destroyed over a mile from ground zero. There were red, burned, and bloated dead bodies piled up high. The corpses with the guts and the eyes popped out. Clouds of dust turned the morning into twilight. And later, black rain fell. This is from American Crime Case Number 97, August 6 and 9, 1945. The Nuclear Incineration of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You can find this at the website revcom.us. As the war in Ukraine becomes more and more protracted, the danger of nuclear war increases. And we have discussed here on the RNL show and on revcom.us that President Putin of Russia has put his nuclear forces on high alert and has conducted exercises with these forces. Biden and the U.S.-dominated NATO bloc have thus far, and luckily for humanity, refrained from directly engaging Russian forces so as not to unleash a nuclear war. Yet, the U.S.'s nuclear-armed submarines in the seas close to Russia, and the U.S.-led NATO bloc has nuclear arms throughout Europe that are just minutes away from being able to strike major Russian cities and military targets. More, the U.S. and NATO are arming Ukraine with advanced weaponry, waging economic and political war against Russia, and have recently moved even more troops into NATO countries on the eastern side of NATO, close to Russia.
Troops from the U.S. 82nd Airborne Division on the march in the forests in Poland's Carpathian Mountains.
With all this, the drumbeat from the U.S. media and politicians for the U.S. to escalate its military involvement particularly by establishing a no-fly zone.
Okay, so they won't stop importing Russian oil, and they won't even have a no-fly zone?
Why rule out the no-fly zone? Why not make Putin think it's possible?
Which would tremendously increase the risk and the likelihood of direct military engagement, raising the risk of nuclear war even more. Headlines and articles appear. Earlier this week in The Atlantic, an article was posted that titled, "What is the likelihood of nuclear war?" After stating that the risk is not as great as it was during the Cuban Missile Crisis in October 1962, of which President Kennedy said, in hindsight, that the risk of all-out nuclear war was 50-50, The Atlantic article goes on to say that the war in Ukraine poses the potential for mistakes and miscalculations, and this means the risks are high. And what we want to do today in the RNL show is bring to new generations and to remind those who lived through these past periods where the sort of nuclear devastation was ever present, a basic picture of what nuclear war actually is. But first, we want to briefly establish the scientific understanding of what gives rise to wars in this era of imperialism. In 2018, Bob Avakian gave a talk, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution, that begins with five fundamental outrages and crimes of this system that cannot be reformed. These we call the five stops. These five stops reveal the scientific basis for saying that the capitalist imperialist system is the source of all the oppression that humanity faces, that it is built into this system, and therefore, it is impossible to do away with these outrages through reforming this system, and instead, it must be overthrown. One of these stops is titled Wars of Empire, Armies of Occupation, and Crimes Against Humanity. And here is an excerpt of Bob Avakian speaking on this.
But this system of capitalist imperialism is marked by profound divisions between different classes and groups of people within each country, between a small number of capitalist imperialist countries and the countries under the domination of these imperialists, particularly in the third world, that is Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, and divisions between imperialist countries themselves, whose rivalry has revolved to a significant degree around their contention for control of colonies and people to exploit in the third world. And when, for a time in the last century, there were socialist countries, first in the Soviet Union and then also in China, there was a conflict between the imperialist powers and those socialist countries, which the imperialists worked to isolate, suffocate, and destroy. All this led to two world wars in the last century, in which tens of millions of people were killed, including huge numbers of civilians. Since the end of World War II in 1945, the divisions that marked the world within the overall framework of domination by the capitalist imperialist system have led to continual wars. Wars where imperialist powers have unleashed massive violence against people fighting for liberation from imperialism in countries of the third world, such as the war in Vietnam, where the U.S. slaughtered several million Vietnamese and poisoned much of the soil of that country with chemical weapons. War crimes and crimes against humanity that the U.S. imperialists have continued in all parts of the world, including today, for example, in the Middle Eastern country of Yemen, where because of bombing and other actions by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, backed, armed, and aided by the U.S., 1 million people, including large numbers of children, are suffering and many are dying from the terrible disease cholera. And 8 million people, more than a fourth of the population, are facing starvation. And there are wars between different oppressive forces, including wars where imperialist powers fight each other not directly, but through proxies, such as the war which has devastated Syria over the past several years, where the U.S. and Russia have backed, armed, and aided different factions. While another world war, which especially with the arsenals of nuclear weapons in the hands of the U.S. and Russia, China, and some other countries, could lead to destruction and death on a massive scale, and could even bring about the extinction of the human race, while this has so far been avoided, so long as the capitalist imperialist system continues to dominate the world, and the profound divisions this embodies and enforces continue to exist, the danger remains of a far more devastating war than anything previously endured by humanity. Only through the overthrow of this system, including in its greatest centers of power in the imperialist countries themselves, an overthrow carried out also with the aim of preventing these imperialists from launching an all-out war of annihilation. Only in this way can we advance toward the goal of overcoming the divisions among human beings that embody exploitation and oppression and lead to violent conflict, and finally make a reality of the dreams and aspirations of so many for a world without war.
This provides a scientific foundation for how to understand and what stand to take towards the war in Ukraine. Babavakian has written, quote, "Of course, this act of imperialist aggression by Russia deserves to be condemned, but especially for people residing in this country, which again, by far holds the record for such acts of aggression, it is a matter of basic principle and profound importance not to be echoing the positions and serving the aims of our imperialists, and instead to be making very clear our opposition to the aims and actions of these U.S. imperialists who are using opposition to the Russian invasion of Ukraine not as a way of promoting peace or the right of nations to self-determination, but as a means of furthering U.S. imperialist interests in opposition to the rival Russian imperialists," end quote. So with all this in mind, let's take a look at nuclear war, starting with the fact that the only country that has actually used nuclear weapons is the United States. The president of the U.S., as World War II was drawing to a close, was Harry Truman. For sheer blood-curdling imperialist bullshit, watch this from Harry Truman.
"We have spent more than $2 billion on the greatest scientific gamble in history, and we have won.
Having found the atomic bomb, we have used it. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war. Only a Japanese surrender will stop us. It is an awful responsibility which has come to us. We thank God that it has come to us instead of to our enemies. And we pray that he may guide us to use it in his ways and for his purposes."
If you didn't believe me that Hiroshima and 3 days later Nagasaki were not military targets, watch this clip. And this is from a government film that was edited into a feature documentary in 1983 titled Atomic Cafe.
The group had been told to select some targets in Japan that had not been bombed. In other words, they wanted virgin targets. And the reason behind it, even though not given to the group at that time, the reason behind it was that they wanted to be able to make bomb blast studies or bomb damage studies on virgin targets once the bombs were used. And they offered such a well, you could almost say a classroom experiment as far as being able to determine later the bomb damage.
On RevCom this week, we write, quote, to understand how incredibly dangerous nuclear weapons are, consider this. The single bomb that devastated Hiroshima in 1945, ultimately killing over 140,000 people, had a yield of 15 kilotons. That is the equivalent of 15,000 tons of TNT. As of 2020, 9 countries possess over 12,700 nuclear warheads, over 90% in the hands of US and Russia. The most powerful warhead has a yield of 1.2 megatons. This is the equivalent of 1.2 million tons, 80 times as powerful as the American bomb that incinerated Hiroshima. Again, the United States and Russia together have 8,000 nuclear weapons. Understand that because these bombs are delivered by missiles, the time between launch and explosion is measured in minutes, so that the decision to go to nuclear war is principally in the hands of the US and Russian presidents. But after that, much of these responses are triggered almost automatically. It is very hard to stop a nuclear exchange once it is started. And then even the explosion of a single one of the smallest nuclear weapon would be catastrophic. An article in The Atlantic says that the detonation of a single 1 megaton bomb would, within a 4-mile radius, produce winds equal to those of a Category 5 hurricane, immediately flattening buildings, knocking down power lines, and triggering gas leaks. Anyone within 7 miles of the detonation would suffer third-degree burns, the kinds that sear and blister flesh. There are several projections of what would be the result of a limited nuclear exchange of just 100 such weapons. Now remember, the U.S. and the Russians have 8,000 weapons, so a small exchange might be just 100 weapons. The projections that various groups have made range from deaths from 34 to 90 million people relatively rapidly. And the long-range effect of radiation and climate devastation would dramatically increase that number and possibly even lead to the extinction of humanity. And there are many studies with varying projections, but all of them strain the imagination for the horror that they predict. To give you a more visceral picture of this, in 1983, a film was made for ABC TV titled The Day After. Over 100 million people were glued to their TVs that night as the specter of nuclear war hung over the world as the US and Soviet Union were threatening World War III. The Day After is a fiction film, but there is accuracy to what a strike by nuclear weapons would mean.
They're on their way to Russia. They take about 30 minutes to reach their target.
So do theirs, right?
Missile warning, this is Beale. Confidence is high. I repeat, confidence is high. Roger, we've got 32 targets in track and 10 impacting points. I want to confirm, is this an exercise? Roger, copy. This is not an exercise.
That such weapons exist, let alone that they are integrated into the strategic doctrine of contending imperialist governments, is all the indictment that one should need to devote every effort to putting an end to a system that could contemplate, that could engineer, that could develop, doctrine, that could threaten and then actually use such monstrous weapons. But there is another way. A concentrated expression of the new communism is this provision in the Constitution for a New Socialist Republic in North America, written by Babaveke, and it states in Article 1, Part C, 3, this. The new socialist republic in North America will not develop and will not use nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction. It will wage a determined and many-sided struggle to rid the world of all such weapons, and it will do this as part of a larger overall struggle to defeat and dismantle all imperialist and reactionary states and forces to advance toward the achievement of communism throughout the world, which will finally make it possible for the desires and dreams of countless human beings throughout history and the fundamental interests of humanity for a world without war to long last be realized. This is an expression of the bedrock principle of the new communism, that the means of this movement, of this revolution, must flow from and be consistent with the fundamental ends of abolishing all exploitation and oppression through revolution led on a scientific basis.
That was Andy Z, the host of the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, speaking about nuclear war. From Ukraine to Hiroshima, it is a segment he produced several months back at the Revolution Nothing Less show, and it remains highly, highly relevant. It's important history that everybody has to confront, and important about the role of the U.S. in the world. Not the leader of the so-called free world, but the number one terrorist country on the planet. Before we move into our final segment today, looking at the escalating attacks on trans people and the fascist assault on school boards and elementary school children and their curriculum and their families, I want to have a musical interlude. This is Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus. Yes, they are relevant to this next segment. This is called Rainbow Land. It's a song they put out just to put it out. And yet some school board members in Wisconsin, I believe, banned it because it used the word rainbow. Clutch your pearls and get ready. Here we go.
Come on.
Rainbow Land, Dolly Parton, Miley Cyrus. There you go. You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'm your guest host. And for our final segment, I bring you an interview with Lucha Bright. Welcome back to The Michael Slate Show. My name is Sansara Taylor. I am your guest host. I'm very happy to welcome my next guest, Lucha Bright. She is a member of the Revolution Club in Los Angeles. Lucha, welcome to The Michael Slate Show.
Thanks, Sansara. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So I want to talk about the violence that has broken out at the school board meetings in several cities in Southern California, focused up around Pride Month, LGBTQ Pride Month, and resolutions that were passed at a curriculum that's being debated, and fascists who are showing up and threatening, not only threatening violence, but carrying out acts of violence and violently opposing LGBTQ rights and education. And you've been out in the fray of this. So that's a lot of what I want to talk about. But first, I wonder if you want to just share how you see these attacks overall in the country, what they're part of, how you understand them.
Well, this is really the ripping apart of society that's happening with a drive towards a Christian fascist America from very virulent fascist movement that is both in the halls of power and in the streets. There's the over 500 anti-LGBT laws that are going through legislatures across the country right now. There is mobilization in the streets of a fascist movement, you know, the Proud Boy types, and then mobs being mobilized. And this is, it's vicious, and it's part of a whole larger program that went along with the overturning of Roe versus Wade last year, a whole Christian fascist movement. And I think what we face right now is there are norms of this society that have been shredded and are not holding and are not going to come back together. And as the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian has said, we face something terrible or something truly emancipating right now. There's a radical change that's going to come out of this one way or another. Which way that goes depends in large part on what we do.
So Lucha, in just a moment, I want to talk about how this is broken out in these flashpoints and really fascist attacks on school board meetings down here in Southern California, a bastion of so-called liberal America. But I want to stay for just a moment on the title of a work from Bob Avakian that you just cited, Something Terrible or Something Truly Emancipating. And I think it's easier for those who are willing to look, who are not hiding in denial, that there is something terrible that's emerging in this country right now. We can see it in the 500 anti-LGBTQ laws that have been introduced or passed so far this year. We can see it in the overturning of abortion rights, Roe v. Wade last year, that you just mentioned, and the terror of forced motherhood that's being inflicted upon or hanging over the heads as a threat of against millions and millions of women across this country already in 14 states where abortion is banned. We can see this something terrible and the burning and the heating of the planet with the concentrated example just this last week of the fire and the thick smoke that covered and poisoned New York City and the Northeastern corridor with the fires, wildfires from Canada and the larger threat to our climate and human civilization from it. We can see it in the escalating threat of open nuclear confrontation between the US and Russia or possibly US and China. We can see it in many different dimensions, the terrible. But when Bob Avakian says there's also the chance for something truly emancipating, I think this is much harder to see. It's not obvious at all on the surface. And I think it'd be important for you to take just a moment and bring that alive for people. What is it that you are referencing and that he is referencing and that something truly emancipating?
Look, all those things that you just described are rooted in a system of exploitation and oppression, a capitalist imperialist system. And we need, humanity needs, for a future for humanity to overthrow that system through a real revolution and bring into being a new society that is not based on that exploitation and oppression, but in fact is a society where people, men, women, differently gendered people, where all people are full human beings, bringing forward a future for humanity that people can actually flourish in. That requires a revolution. This system has never meant anything good for the masses of humanity. It's built on exploiting people all over the world. And the time we're in right now, the norms are shredding. The ways in which the illusion that this is going to keep getting better and people are going to keep getting, you know, more and more democracy and all of this, this is an illusion that has covered over the brutal dictatorship of this country. The way in which it's invaded countries all over the world, the way in which its economy is based on exploiting people all over the world. This has been covered over, and what's happening right now is breaking open the illusion that this is something that is going to be perfectible. This revolution needs to be made as soon as possible, and we are in a time right now where millions and millions of people could come to see the need for that revolution, could break out of their allegiance to this system. And we, as the RevComs, are out to shine a light on all of that so that people can understand why this is happening, why this Christian fascism is growing, why this system has no answers for all the things that they hate about the way the world is and so many people being treated as less than human, and to bring forward a force for revolution and a people in the thousands and then millions to actually make a revolution, to overthrow this system and bring into being a whole new system, which has been spelled out and there's a blueprint for in a constitution for a new socialist republic written by the revolutionary leader, Babovakian.
Well, I think that's important that the norms, as we have known them, the society that we have grown up in and lived in and that has been relatively stable for nearly 150 years since the end of the Civil War, that this normal is not going, A, it's not staying, and B, it's not returning. And that radical change is coming one way or the other, something radically reactionary, murderously oppressive, a fascist America, potentially the extinction of human civilization through nuclear war or climate destruction if this system continues, or the chance through tremendous struggle and people lifting their sights and refusing to continue to hide from the worsening reality and daring to think and outside their comfort zone and engage the constitution from Babovakian that you just spoke of at revcom.us and learn about this revolution and relate to the revcoms in this, there's a chance to wrench something far more liberating than most people have even allowed themselves to think about or can imagine today, but that they need to learn about and be part of making real right now. People have a choice to make. So I think that's very important context. I'd like to zero in now in that light to what's been going on at the school board meetings you've been out to here in Southern California. Maybe you could just set the stage and describe some of what's the measures and the controversy that's been playing out down here.
Yeah, well, we just came the other day from the school board meeting in Glendale, where there's for weeks and weeks now, these parent groups, the cover of, they're calling themselves parent groups, but these groups of fascists that are being mobilized have been going and flooding these meetings to target that the school district has policies for equality for trans children, and that they are teaching about LGBT people in schools. And at this last meeting, the school board was passing the resolution to declare June Pride Month, which I think they've passed every year for the last 4 years. And there was a mobilization of these fascists, hundreds of them, to try to flood that school board meeting and to protest outside. And they had a very loud protest outside. There was counter protest of people that mobilized to oppose them. And my understanding is there was many more people who came in opposition to them than had been at previous meetings. This was a very intense back and forth outside of the school board meeting that actually ended in an attack from the fascists, a violent attack on some of the counter protesters. Inside the school board meeting, people were mainly the people who got inside were people who were in support of the policies of the board and the district and were speaking out about the importance of this for the lives and well-being of LGBT children and people overall. And the school board did pass the resolution to make this Pride Month in the schools. Just days before that was another, with many of the same kinds of forces, whole clash at Sataquoy Elementary School in North Hollywood. And this was really vicious. I mean, all of this has been really vicious, but you're talking about an elementary school where there's children sitting in class, children going into school for a Rainbow Day assembly. This was on June 2nd at the beginning of Pride Month. And the Rainbow Day assembly is, they're reading a book called The Great Big Book of Families, where there's a line in that book that just says some families have two mommies and some families have two daddies. And it's the just the basic expression of the humanity of LGBT people. And, you know, and this, there was a whole mobilization of this ugly, just disgusting fascist assault against this, where they're saying this is perversion, where, the, you know, they're standing outside of the school yelling obscenities against gay people and slanders and you know, just the most disgusting things, talking about trans people and LGBT teachers as groomers of children, just really horrific. And they're doing it all in the name of protecting our children and parents' rights. And, you know, so this was what happened at Sadako Elementary on June 2nd. And the assembly did go forward. The school district did rally, the LAUSD school district did rally behind the school and the teachers. And, you know, and very good people came out to defend that school and to defend those teachers and people, including clergy, you know, LGBTQ rights organizations. And then just a lot of very good people who came because they wanted to do whatever they could to help keep people safe from this ugly fascist stuff. So that's, maybe I've gone on a bit, but that's kind of what's, what, you know, that's some of the texture of what's been happening in, you know, just in the last week here in LA.
You know, there's two big things as I'm listening to you that are really screaming in my mind. So I'll do one and then maybe we can get to the other. One is that when you portray LGBTQ people as groomers, when you make those two things, first, that lie, that vicious lie, but when you propagate that lie publicly, what you are doing is setting up to criminalize LGBTQ people. You're putting them in the category of predators. And these fascists, this was at CPAC, this was this is widely promoted. This is even Donald Trump said this about Mike Pence when they were in power. He said, you know, Mike Pence, he wants to hang the gays. That was one of his alleged off the record quotes that leaked out from him. But it's true. This is setting up for a genocide against LGBTQ people. These are not minor matters. When one of the school board presidents down in Huntington opposed a textbook that included LGBTQ history and included mention of Harvey Milk. And he said, why, this is a quote, why would we teach our kids about a pedophile? Equating Harvey Milk, the first elected gay, openly gay elected official in California and San Francisco, as a pedophile just for being gay, and which is a lie. These things are setting up for a genocide. This is the way they demonize Jewish people in Nazi Germany. And we have to take this very seriously. This has nothing to do with quote unquote parents' rights. And that's the other thing that is screaming in my mind. So I'll let you react to either or both of these. But there's this whole wrong notion that's so propagated and unchallenged in this country that the parents should have a right to decide what's taught in school, which is just complete garbage. It's schools are not institutions that serve parents. They are institutions of the public serving the public to educate the new generation for society as a whole. The children are not property of parents. And it's very interesting in the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America from Bob Avakian that you mentioned, that would be implemented after an actual revolution. It makes very clear that curriculum is set based on secular scientific standards. It is set, and every child has to attend public secular school because children do not belong to parents. They are the future of society and the world, and they should be educated in the good of society and in scientific, critical, reality-based and standards, and also in standards that accept the humanity of the beautiful diversity of society. So you could react to either of those things, but I just think there's so much embedded in the quote unquote parents' rights and protecting children from groomers, both in the genocidal direction that they are taking it and in the flawed assumptions that are widely unchallenged in this society about education, public education, the role of parents in that versus public school and how that's handled in a revolutionary society.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really glad you brought up both of those things, and I really agree. you know, both the danger that this is in terms of what they're in the name of this, of the name of parents' rights, but the in particular, the thing you're saying about the charge of groomers and pedophiles of all of this, you know, the very violent danger in that and the violence that's already being unleashed, but where you're walking that through of a whole genocidal direction. And I think there's a Nazi kind of mob mobilization around parents' rights. Look, when you're talking about what the schools are for and what a new society would, you know, a new socialist republic would bring into being, you know, that people should be learning about reality and about what's scientifically based and what's true. And one of the things it says in that constitution explicitly is that, is that what children would be learning in schools in a new socialist republic is the actual history of the oppression of different peoples and the full humanity of people and being, you know, and that would be part of how people are being unleashed to uproot and transform all of that oppression. And the idea that that vicious oppressive relations should be backed up and enforced in the name of parents. I mean, you know, it brings to mind like these, you know, the white mobs outside of schools that were being integrated, you know, in the Jim Crow era, like first of all, children don't belong to their parents. Children are not property. I mean, parents have children, but the children, you know, are not something that should be seen as property. But really, the fundamental thing is this is a cover for what is really just a program of oppression and repression and mobilizing people that can be mobilized around this banner of parents' rights.
I have one last question for you, Lucha, and that is, and let me remind everybody listening, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Lucha Bright. She's a member of the Los Angeles Revolution Club. And we are talking about the vicious attack on LGBTQ people across this country and in a concentrated way, the violence that's flared up at school board meetings in Southern California over Pride Month and what gets taught by fascists opposing any acknowledgement or respect to LGBTQ people. My final question is, how do you see the relationship between standing up against these attacks, defending the rights of the people, defending the school board members and parents and children of LGBTQ children, as well as sort of opposing this whole climate? How do you see opposing this as relating to doing the work to prepare for the revolution that you are fighting for?
The sharpening up right now of where the society is going to go really requires bringing forward a people that is standing up against the crimes of this system and defending people that are under attack from, you know, racist, woman-hating, and anti-LGBT thugs in and out of government. And that's a very important part of the strategy for making revolution, is to bring forward and lead people in that kind of resistance. And at the same time, as people are being led to get a deeper understanding and a scientific understanding of why this is happening, and it does not have to be this way, and that we can bring a far better society into being. I think right now it is crucial that everybody who does want to see a world free of this kind of, you know, violence and oppression of people need to get connected up with the RevComs. They need to get connected up with Bob Avakian and the strategy for revolution. They need to become part of a fight of standing up against this, but doing all of this as part of how people become a growing force to bring into being that constitution for the new socialist republic that we've been talking about, and, you know, and fighting us to get in position, you know, at the soonest possible time that this whole system can be overthrown and that new constitution be put in the place of, you know, of the U.S. Constitution that's, you know, that enforces, you know, exploitation and oppression. So that's what I think about kind of what people need to be doing now and you know, and where that needs to be leading us to.
Okay, Lucha Bright with the Los Angeles Revolution Club. I want to thank you for making the time to talk today.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, beautiful people. We have sadly reached the end of today's Michael Slate Show, but I'm so happy to have been able to share so much of this with you in this momentous time of the Trump indictment and arrest and the declarations of war from the fascists. As we contemplate the risk and the danger to humanity of nuclear war and the history of this country's use of nuclear weapons against civilian populations, and as we look at the on-the-ground resistance being waged by the RevComs and others standing up against fascist assaults on trans youth and school board members and teachers and families, and so much more that cries out for us to wake up, tune in, pay attention, and lean into this moment, not hide from it, not retreat from it, but rise to our responsibility to be part of shaping the future at this pivotal time. So again, I'm happy to have you tune in. I look forward to talking with you again next week. And until then, remember, the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. I'll talk to you next week.
Let's all dig down deep inside. Brush the judgment and fear.